Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today about appreciation for men. Specifically today, I want to talk about some of the sorrows of men. And I have three interesting letters to read. I have a letter from a woman who says she prays for her husband's salvation, but she is refusing to forgive certain people. Is it surprising that her husband is not interested in salvation as long as his wife is acting in such an obviously sinful way? This woman acknowledges in her letter to me that her husband sees this and has not become a Christian. The most powerful way that we can draw others to Jesus Christ is by acting like Christians. The most powerful way that we can turn them away, surely, is by acting unchristianly. Another woman writes to tell me of her husband's anger, and she says, ironically, my husband leads an anger control group. Well, that sounds like something a good many men might feel they needed to join. I wonder if they would, if they knew what that wife wrote to me. She says, just the other day, we had a fight. I said a lot of angry words, such as, I want a divorce. My husband knows I didn't mean it, but he takes it hard every time. He tortures me by not talking to me for 2 weeks, every time he is angry. He even turns to pornography to let out his anger. I told him I was sorry in about 2 days, but his anger will last until I absolutely have to get down to beg him to forgive me. It's very humiliating. Both of us are at fault. But I don't have any friends or family to talk to. I can't hold the anger as long as he does, and any good Christian should not hold it that long. Well, let me put in a parenthesis here that the Bible says that we are not to go to bed angry. So, obviously, we ought not ever to hold the anger more than one day. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Several times she says, I felt like I was going crazy because his heart is like a stone when I try to love him. When I ask for his forgiveness, sometimes it is not even my fault. I patiently wait for him, and sometimes 2 weeks go by before he gets rid of his hurt and anger. What else can I do? I tried everything you said to do. My husband is so stubborn, so unforgiving. His anger lasts forever. My question is, how can two people who claim to love God and want to serve God be the most miserable people together? Well, you know, the answer is simple. Not easy, but simple. And by that I mean we understand what God is saying when He says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put it away. Don't work through it. Don't excuse yourself on the basis that the other person is even angrier than you are. Cut it out. Quit it. Stop. That's what the Bible says. Now here's a letter from a husband. He says, for years, whenever a disagreement has come up with my wife, I've always apologized and said I'm sorry, even when I felt I wasn't at fault. But I've about come to the end of my rope. I'm tired of apologizing when I have nothing to apologize for. I'm tired of saying sorry just to get my wife to speak to me. Most days, I'd just like to move to the rooftop just to find some peace. I'm not sure at this moment what I'd do if God were ever to take His hands off me. I am convinced myself, this is Elizabeth talking now, that the greatest sorrow that can come in a family is divorce. anger is a dangerous thing because very often it leads to adultery. And adultery leads to divorce. Adultery, I think, is a way of getting back at that person who has been so angry with you. You find someone who is sympathetic and kind and open and loving, and you go to bed with them. Isn't that the truth? You who have committed adultery, what were your motives? Was it merely because you wanted a variety in your life? You wanted a little excitement? Was there not perhaps down deep some anger or fear or guilt that made you feel retaliatory to that other person? You want to show them. You want to get back at them. You want to make the other one feel regret. So you kick over the traces and you punish the other person. And here's a letter from a man who was actually in the Green Berets. This is what he says. I have gone through the most terrible experience of my life. My wife left me for another man. I was listening to you on the radio about Glenda's story and how she was compelled to pick up the Christian literature. I about jumped out of my chair at work because I was compelled to pick up and read a Bible my parents had given me in the army. This was before I knew my wife was having an affair. When I found out, I wanted to be dead, and I went into deep depression for the first time in my life. I knew I needed help, so I asked God to help me and started going to church. I have asked Jesus to be my Savior, and I have gone through so many changes in 9 months that I feel like a new man, born again. That realization blew my mind. Anyway, I listened to you on the radio along with others, and I cannot learn enough. Your program is helping me grow, and I just wanted to thank you for what you're doing. You're helping an ex-Army captain of the infantry and a Green Beret who thought he could handle anything for himself, but who was slapped down into the dirt and found out he was nothing without God. And he says, please let me know how to obtain Glenda's story. Glenda's story is that of a woman who had a very different experience from this Green Beret. She had an abused background with all sorts of other horrifying things. But the way she dealt with it is so different from what we are hearing from the world. She found the efficacy of the blood of Jesus, the effectiveness of the cross. It's a wonderful story of a transformed life. Let me read to you a little bit from Mark chapter 10, where Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees who came and asked him a test question. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? What did Moses command you? Jesus said. They said Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. Jesus said it was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote this law. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. He answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery." Those are clear, stern words, aren't they? Let me read a little bit more from the leaflet called Do You Love Me? This man testifies to the ways in which their home was completely transformed and his love for his wife completely changed because of the great sorrow that came into their home when they lost their seventh child. What a shock! At 2 in the morning, in a stark, bright hospital delivery room, I held in my hand my tiny, lifeless son and stared in disbelief at his death. What an injustice. Others should have died, not he. I should have died, not he. I was guilty, but alive. He was innocent, but dead. In an instant, as never before, I saw that there is deeply rooted in this universe an evil that afflicts even the most innocent. And I realized that many things are simply beyond my power. I could not raise my poor baby from the dead. And I could not command my wife's love. In that same instant, I was forced to choose. Either to rage against the universe that contained this evil, to hate it for harming and killing my baby, or to acknowledge that although this evil existed, and although I was powerless to undo many of its effects or fend off many of its attacks, other things remained very much within my power and under my influence. I had the power to make my wife's life worse by raging, or to make them better by learning to love properly. I had to choose.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliot. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.